Then if they are so commanded, they do not immediately disperse, the officer must arrest them or cause them to be arrested.
Yep. That's right.
This must be non-controversial if you call for me.
Are you through that conference committee?
No, it hasn't even started. They're waiting for new technical equipment to get the thing all recorded.
Oh, good. Should we go back to that other one with 522?
Yes. Okay. No, we're just talking... Okay, what bill number?
I have a problem with the basic bill.
With the deadly force part?
Yeah.
Which one? Is this it?
The basic.
Well, here. I'll tell you what.
2638. This is 2638.
If he does, why don't we go back to... You don't have any problem with that county health officer one? We didn't do 28.
That's right,
we lost the quorum. Maybe we should do 2088.
Oh, I missed one.
We don't have a 5. We don't work on 2638. That was the one that we had tabled, and then it's really serving as a vehicle for the county mental health officer.
Yes.
Because I don't think that's controversial at all.
Okay. Did they change custodian?
88.
Oh, to a word that is a not a catch-22.
No.
Which bill? 2088.
2088.
I don't have the -5 amendments, so I think that.
It's still says custodian.
Okay, you don't have to make it. We take the bill sometimes.
Well, let's see.
Maybe that relates to a definition of who is in custody of the person.
That's still in there.
It would make English, it would make better sense to me if it, the person taking into custody. Instead of custodian, because he really isn't a custodian until he has somebody in custody. And while he's. And this is his prior to taking into custody, he has his reasonable cause. Maybe that's splitting hairs, but it just. I think if I were a defense attorney, I could probably make a point.
Well, I don't think that would stand up, frankly. It's obviously kind of awkward when you're trying to avoid personal pronouns. Sometimes this is a good example.
Just you could put the designee, the director or designee.
Well, you can do that.
Okay.
As long as it is a change.
Okay. Any person who on line 10 instead of the custodian... instead of custodian would be the director or designee.
Do you want to just move to where it says custodian? Say?
Yeah. It doesn't change the intent. Designee.
Well, it's you're going to have to do it again on line 12.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Throughout the bill,
I would suggest maybe. Even though it might not be perfect, it's probably 90%. I think under the circumstances, I'd just leave it alone.
Okay.
Anybody really?
Does it present a problem? I mean, we're going to amend it anyway.
Well, it makes really. it makes it kind of verbose unnecessarily, but
the amendments are going to go back to he.
We've got the legislative council draft the problem, so we'd have to send it back there.
Yeah. They have to go through word processing down and all over again.
This isn't quite as bad as calling a vote on it, but
yeah. All right. Well, is there any objection to, let's see, has somebody move?
I would move that we amend House Bill 2088 with HB 2088A-5 LC draft dated 6/14/85.
All right. Is there any objection to that?
And they don't attend the hearing.
So ordered. And Senator Hendrickson moves House Bill 2088 as amended to the floor for the due pass recommendation. Discussion. Call the roll, please.
Rothman?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye. Carry it. Okay, now we've got going back here. Now, Senator Simmons, do you have some question to you about this?
Yes, I just simply the
the poor situation where it is.
About what was the number?
We're looking at 2638. There was considerable discussion around a U.S. Supreme Court opinion. The opinion was a civil rights action against a city in Tennessee because the city's police officer shot a black 14-year-old in the back of the head as he was climbing over the fence, and the U.S. Supreme Court, and under Tennessee law, the police officer was given pretty broad authority to shoot anybody, and the U.S. Supreme Court said that that was in violation of the Tennessee ordinance or statute, was a violation of the Civil Rights Act, and so this bill here is an attempt to conform Oregon law more closely to what the U.S. Supreme Court was talking about in terms of when can a police officer use deadly force. Anyway, we got involved in a long esoteric discussion about reasonable and probable and serious physical harm and lots of things.
And the warning and so forth that bothers me a little bit.
I would say, let's see, now we have a hand and gross something everywhere.
That's the hand and gross version as it was passed out of the House.
Oh, as it was passed out of the House.
That added in the requirement that some warning be given.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I'm not, oh, I don't know. Does anybody want to do something about Senator Yee's bill or
well, yes, actually I would. I have a feeling that if we would pass that, it would become law. Without the governor's veto.
So, you want to,
but we need the underlying bill, and I don't think we've got five votes right now for the underlying bill.
We don't. We don't.
Unless we...
We could just strip the original bill completely. And
well, I think this deadly force bill is pretty important. I'd hate to strip it out.
I'm not sure I favor the amendment either. I think there's still some advantage in having a riot control bill on. I
do too. If you want to trade me for Senator Brown, that'd be a good time to do it.
No. I just as amended. Right.
Let's go on. Let's leave 2638 alone here and see if we can find something that we can agree on. I'd like to go to the bill that we heard regarding step parents involvement in adoption. What number is that? 2460. Now,
are we
2460, is that? That's the one you're interested in, 2460 allows. If I might.
Yes. We're looking at the House amendments dated May 22nd, are we? That's the new bill, isn't it?
Yes.
All right.
Let me...
Well, if you find that in your book, House amendments dated May 22nd is now really the bill. And it permits a person that has a child-parent relationship with a child to petition the court for custody, visitation, or other generally recognized parental rights. The testimony was that step-parents may raise children clear up to adulthood, but if the natural parent dies, if the child ends up without natural parents, then under present law, the step-parents aren't even considered in terms of who can adopt the children. And very often, as you know, step-parents have a quite close relationship with children. So that's what this bill is.
Okay, this would not change the dissolution law. It does not apply in dissolutions. It's only in adoptions. Is that correct?
No. If I may?
Go ahead, counsel.
We do have additional proposed amendments to take out adoptions. And we do have some people here from both the Children's Services Division and the original proponents of the bill to explain their amendments and to explain what they do if we want to have them.
Well, I was hoping we could find something to send out while we had five people here. Now,
Well, I know that CSD historically opposes this kind of legislation. I'm usually supportive of it. I just didn't want to have a situation where we would be allowing, granting new rights and dissolutions. This is not dissolution.
CSD and the proponents of the bill have agreed on the amendments.
Well, let's hear from them. Come on up here. CSD and the proponents, if there's been an agreement, let's hear it.
And the amendments you need to be looking at are 2460-2.
All right.
That add in a definition of child-parent relationship and take out words relating to adoption.
But would that leave the bill?
Yeah. I thought the adoption idea was the most important part of the bill. Mm-hmm.
Well, it has to do with custody or placement of the child or visitation rights or other generally recognized rights of a parent or person in loco parentis, except adoption.
So sort of a half loaf, I think.
Is that, okay, go ahead. Who's going to speak here?
For the record, I'm Pascal Phillips, Secretary of the Committee for Oregon Families. I'd like to explain that this bill is not substantive. It makes no change in the substantive law. It is procedural. It allows the court to hear the evidence concerning the relationship of the child to individuals who have legitimately and lawfully established a relationship with the child. And it's backed by the courts and CSD in the sense that it will allow for greater justice for the child if the court making the decision must make a decision concerning where the child's placement is. It needs to hear all the evidence.
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm here. I think Senator Hendrickson, maybe your attention better be directed toward the language on line 5. On line 5 of the House Amendments there, because it says that these people may move to intervene with the court having jurisdiction over the custody mm-hmm. of the child.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I noticed it's just part of ORS Chapter 109, which I don't believe has any references to dissolutions, but I'm not positive. Is it everyone's understanding that this in no way would allow the intervention in a dissolution case?
Go ahead.
Senator Fime, Karen Pearson from Children's Services Division. 109 would apply to domestic relations and guardianship procedures both.
Well, I certainly am not supportive of broadening this to dissolution cases.
Yeah, well, I'm not either. Now, I thought that this bill was going to allow step-parents to petition the court in the event that there was not no natural parent for the purpose of getting custody. Am I wrong? I thought that's
no.
What
this is to allow. If I may explain how we got there. Until early 1970s, the child had no recognized right to continuity in a relationship which was important to the child. Except the natural parents had
okay,
the right.
Okay, all right, okay, I see now, yeah, I remember.
Then what happened was, since especially the publication of this book, Beyond the Best Interest of the Child, 1973, there's been a recognition that the child has a right.
Okay, now, I don't want to hear any testimony. I've heard all that testimony before. I just want an explanation of what we're doing.
So what we're doing now is allowing any person who has the right, has legitimately and lawfully established a parent-child relationship, to come into court and present the nature of that relationship when the court is making a decision.
All right, now here's the example. Here's one of the examples that I recall. Now the husband is the father of the child. The mother is the stepmother. The child is 2 years old. The child grows to be the age of 12. The real mother is gone and never appears. The stepmother has developed this mother-daughter relationship.
Sure she is.
Okay, and the father and the mother now get a divorce. So now the stepmother feels toward this child like a natural mother. And right now, Oregon law doesn't have any way to make a case to the court, and so there's where we are. So,
well, I just want to know what we're doing, because this is a drastic and dramatic change if we're allowing grandparents to petition courts for custody of children in dissolution cases, if we're allowing And in Chapter 109, there is one provision with respect to visitation of grandparents which ties into the dissolution statute. So I want to know just what kind of proceedings we're allowing people to intervene in.
Senator, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hendrickson, this only concerns people who have for two years or more been fully parents of the child in the psychological sense. It does not allow grandparents, for instance, to just come in as grandparents unless the child has been living with them as their only parents, as the only parent. A typical case of this is an irresponsible young woman leaves a child with her parents for 7 or 8 years and then suddenly shows up and wants the child back. And the thing is that the court must now, especially after Reflow versus Reflow, make a decision as to whether the natural right of the parent outweighs the right of the child to a continued relationship, which is important to the child. Right now, the court cannot hear the evidence.
Well, okay, I think we understand that. No, that's all we're talking. Now, I might be more favorably inclined if this thing were limited to home situations where the petitioning person had actually lived in the same household. Maybe we could work something like that out, but I...
Senator Frye?
Well, it doesn't say...
Doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that in the amendment, though. Go ahead.
The amendment does.
The amendment does.
Well, is that another amendment yet?
Yeah.
June 7th.
The amendments we are proposing has...
Which amendments are we looking at?
I think they're looking at what we had done by Legislative Council's office.
Well, that's just the day-to-day relation. I thought you meant where it was a step-parent situation where all the parties have done it.
Yes.
This amendment does not do that.
Defines,
Mr. Chair, we need another person on the committee.
I thought maybe we had something to get through with. But
well, if this has to do with people coming in and making petitions for custody, and it has to do with the dissolution of a marriage, I just don't see this as appropriate at all.
All right. Well, we're not going to get it worked out in the next 2 or 3 minutes, so you might as well. Is there anything at all that we can vote on?
Mr. Chair,
I just want to say I'm not unwilling to look at dissolutions if it's very narrowly drafted in a situation where it is we did allow step-parent visitation rights in one session that I was involved with. But I want to make sure it's very narrowly drafted, very narrowly drafted if it's a dissolution. But in a dissolution proceeding, I don't see why a person can't ask for custody. I don't see what prohibits you from asking for custody if you've been the step-parent and file an adoption proceeding or something like that.
Okay. For the record, my name is Trinka Darter, and I'm the step-parent in question. I raised two stepchildren from the ages of 1 and 2. They are now 14 and 15. When I was divorced 3 years ago, I did not have the legal standing to go before the court at the time of a divorce and explain what the situation was, that I had been the psychological parent of these children for 11 years,
and
that the ex-husband has been sexually abusing the stepdaughter since she was age 7. She is still living with him because I don't have the legal standing to go before the court. That's what this bill would do.
Mr. Chairman,
I was unable to do that, though.
Mr. Chairman, I do want to add that we had very extensive testimony before Senate House Judiciary on this, and many of the questions that are being raised were worked out at great length. Yeah. And we did get unanimous vote from House Judiciary and unanimous vote on the House.
Well, I've made a number of mistakes over there that we've caught over here, so that's not much of a recommendation. But here's the thing now. Senator Brockman is on a conference committee. I guess he's trying to get out of here. This is obviously, even if all five of us were so inclined and we're not, it's something that's going to have to be kind of redone. My suggestion is if you can work this thing out so that it's going to cover only someone like yourself whose children were living with you,
mm-hmm.
and give you to cover that very situation that you're in, I think maybe the committee might accept that. And if we can do that here this afternoon, work out something, maybe we can still take care of this for you.
Maybe I'd make it more explicit. Just simply, what I would be willing to look at is in a dissolution proceedings between two parties, that the step-parent can bring before the court the issue of custody, if they can make a showing.
Yeah. Now, can you do that and forget all the rest of it? Okay, that's what you're going to have to do. All right, Senator Brockman, if you have to go, you have to go.
Well, I...
And we'll be in recess for...
They know where I am. I don't know what...
Oh, they do know where you are?
Yes, yeah,
he could not support the...
Well, what, this is so much broader. I mean, it's...
Mr. Yeah. Chair, I'm concerned if you...
They said they'd wait for me to vote, and I said, that's great. I'm going to walk in blind, so I don't know what...
Well, okay.
I mean, I'll go see what the status is and check back. But, yeah.
Is Senator Brown in that one, too?
Yeah.
What room is it
in? It's in the third floor of the caucus room.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, yeah, Senator Hamby.
As I read this, the current bill, even with the proposed amendment, if you look at line 3, any person, including but not limited to, plus the new parent-child relationship definition, if you could imagine a case where, you know, your babysitter, you needed a babysitter for 5 days a week and nights,
mm-hmm.
or you worked weekends over a decade, 8 years, and they have that babysitter petition, because they have would have a valid child-parent relationship, I would assume. It's
too broad. Too broad. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll help with taking work. That's not very... It wouldn't take very much to work that amendment out, and I think that we could accept
Well,
that.
Mr. Chair, was the thrust of this or the inspiration for this particular bill the situation with the stepmother?
Yes. She was the one that actually...
Because I think it's... I agree with Senator Hamby. I think it's incredibly overbroad.
It is too
and
broad.
It might help in some situations, but I think you'd be violating the parents' rights in other situations.
Well, it only gives them the right to file a petition. The court still has the discretion.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, but...
but those... Well, okay. I'll tell you what, we'll take a little break, and I'll try to get together with counsel and maybe put these in some kind of order so that the... if anybody has a bill on the agenda that's a high priority, then tell me. We might not get to everything, although I'm going to stay here all night and finish this, but maybe everybody else isn't.
Don Schaefer called me about one about, is there some of the radio licenses?
Yes.
Yes, that's on here.
That is 2730.
And then, Bill Linden had one about...
Let's go off the record here. We're in recess at... Oh, shoot. We got one more bill that's going to require... We got to do something on this bill.
Well, how about 2638?
What's that about?
That was the deadly force bill.
Oh. Okay, well, no.
And then we had those amendments.
That's right.
The May Yee amendments.
That's true.
Did you hear that? The team told me that the governor vetoed that thing by mistake. Oliver just vetoed that mistake.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they've got to... Didn't understand it. And if they've got to kind of agree, this should be not on the record. Should be kept quiet. But if it's a little place saving. Because I thought it was so stupid.
Oh.
But anyway...
That's kind of the
point. He won't veto it. Won't veto it. Yeah.
Caroline Quinlan to you.
Okay. Well, it's 2:47 here, and the Senate Judiciary Committee will come back in the session. We have Senators Fadley, Wires, Simmons, Hendrickson, Fry here, and that's a quorum. And is your meeting still going on, Senator Fadley?
Four ways and means is over with. I need to go back.
There's a difference.
Okay, we've got the...
Jerry's the governor.
Well, let's go. Let's take up the point of Senator Hanson just mentioned.
2638.
Senator Brockman, are you all through now with your conference committee?
Yep. That wraps it up, Mr. Chairman.
Well, we still don't have 5 votes, because Senator Simmons had indicated he was supportive of the underlying bill.
Yeah, I wouldn't support either the underlying bill or the...
Well, Senator Brown's here.
Where's Senator Brown? He's over here.
He's on the telephone.
1, 2, 3, 4. No, all right, Senator Brown's here.
Yeah.
What do we need to do? Move this...
We're on 20. We're on...
That's the House
bill. 2638.
Some amendments by Jack Frost here. I'm not sure if that made it into the book or not. Those address the question of whether the criminal should be considered physical harm or injury. Did you talk about that?
No.
Okay. Where is it?
You can object to this because it's true.
No.
You been here the whole time?
No.
Sometimes you just get into
yeah.
A determination.
I left here right after we dealt with that other bill and waved me.
Stabbed in the chest and they had to do exploratory surgery to determine if it was serious or dependent.
Term serious physical harm.
Didn't we have some kind of, we had to make some changes on the original bill? Reasonably believe.
Let's make a motion, Chair.
Well, first, I'd like to move the amendments dated 6/14/85, 2638A-7 to the bill. Give it one more try on repealing the punishment for if you don't agree to be an officer in the police force.
Is everybody up to speed on these amendments now?
Yes. There are 2/3 of the bill the governor vetoed.
Right.
These are the Riot Act amendments.
Yes.
Yes, but we're leaving the Riot Act.
We're going to leave.
There's the arrest of bystander amendments.
Yeah, the Riot Act is still there, but you can't arrest the bystanders who refuse to participate.
On either side of the riot, isn't it?
Do you see the 1968 police riot?
Well, yeah.
I was there.
I guess there are probably some objections, so I guess we'll call the roll on the amendments. Senator Hendrickson's motion is to adopt the amendments, -7 amendments dated June 14th, 85. Senator Brown.
I understand that in the veto, there's been some second thoughts, and there's maybe at least a private, if not public, admission that maybe there was some not total understanding of what was going on there, and it may be that the entire bill as it was passed could be put here and it would find its way through.
Mr. Chair, I have consulted with the proponents of this, and I think there is an understanding if we put 2/3 through rather than 100%, it will not be vetoed. I think we need to leave a little face-saving 1/3 portion in here.
I do understand that problem, but I thought maybe if it was kind of camouflaged and wrapped in this other bill, it would be the face problem would come up. Okay.
Oh, all right.
I didn't know.
Any further discussion?
Lame ducks have faces.
Okay, call the roll on Senator Hendrickson's motion.
Lame ducks so can
No.
Well, Senator Hamilton, just now voting on the
Big E amendments.
Yeah.
Oh,
Brown.
Aye.
Baby.
Aye.
Hamby.
Aye.
Hendrickson.
Aye.
No.
Wire.
Aye.
Fry.
Aye. All right, the amendments are adopted. Now, counsel, would you mention what the district attorney's concern is with the phrase serious physical injury that you'll find on lines 8 and 10.
Jack Frost came in and mentioned that the one remaining problem they have, and I think there is a copy of his suggested amendments and testimony in your books, although I'm not certain. But anyway.
Yes, I got it.
Okay. His concern is that the phrase serious physical injury that you find on lines 8 and 10 and I believe 12 also is a determination that can only be made after the fact. For instance, there was a case where a man was stabbed in the chest and the court stated to the effect that whether it was a serious physical injury as defined in the statute couldn't be determined until after exploratory surgery had been done to determine whether a vital organ had been injured. In part of the statute, a police officer must make a determination whether there's been a serious physical injury. Mr. Frost's concern is that that's an impossible task for the police officer and that language should be changed to serious physical harm.
Mr. Chair.
I'm
just trying to refresh my memory. I was talking to Jim Hemings. I'm losing my mind. Because I did hear part of this. I think I heard the whole hearing. It's sort of hard to remember at this point of the session. But I was asking him, I knew they had a concern about that, and I was trying to refresh my memory about the debate on this particular point. And the problem with this, as I understand it, is there is no place else in the criminal code in which this kind of language is used with respect to serious injury. Maybe we can ask him,
okay,
if you don't mind, to come forward.
Jim Hennings for the ACLU. The problem is the language that was chosen and is in the bill matches what is in the assault statutes, the serious physical injury. The language that Jack Frost is recommending does not exist anywhere else in the criminal code. So what we're asking is police officers who are making arrests for assaults know what serious physical injury is. They do not know what this other standard is. We feel that it is better and less confusing to stay with a standard that is used elsewhere in the assault statutes. It should track the assault statutes.
And just for purposes of clarity, his concern is that serious physical injury is a determination that can't often be made in a street situation, but rather is a question that, for instance, is in a sense a medical question that can't be made until
except,
a later time.
Except the criminal code requires it to be made because they hold individual citizens responsible for serious physical injury. The intent to cause serious physical injury.
Mr. Chair,
you know, I always thought in the law of either the tort law or the criminal law, a justification defense for using deadly force was to preserve your life.
Yes.
So wouldn't the standard that the officer would be making, obviously, they wouldn't have the time to think,